Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, I have a co-host with me already. Maybe, when I get to work.
Hello. Hello.
Good. Hello, Jamie. How are you?
Hello. I am okay. How are you?
Good.
I got Alexa to shut up before you clicked me through. That happens every time. I'm like, shut up, Alexa, and try to get her to stop before you click me through. But she quit. So I guess tonight we have obviously the two Walking Deads, and then you guys are going to talk about His Dark Materials, which unfortunately I have not caught up yet, so I did not get to watch it this week, but I will. And the other thing is I noticed we can't talk about it this week, but if we want to talk about it next week, Next was on, because I saw it on the DVR. It was on tonight. And then also, I don't think we've talked about it, but I was curious if you guys were going to watch Big Sky, because I think that looks like it's probably going to be something we will like, and that starts tonight as well.
What's Big Sky?
It's some kind of mystery show. The preview is very... it's nothing like Lost, but I mean, it's kind of got like that weird mystery. I don't know. Like, I think we'll like it.
What's it
but,
on?
But it's about some missing women. It's on ABC.
ABC? Okay, I hadn't even heard of that, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it just starts tonight, so it's brand new.
Is there a paranormal or a science fiction element, or is it a straight up mystery?
I get the opinion from the preview, and I know that makes it doesn't actually show anything paranormal, but you know how sometimes you just see a preview and it's got like a weird, I don't know, it just looks like something that I think we would like. I'm going to see if I can get a preview here and not just a clip. I was going to see what it said about it, but that's actually not
right.
On the movie database.
We'll check it out.
On the wrong thing.
Big Sky,
yeah.
It's called.
Yeah, it just starts tonight. I had hoped to get a screener, but I haven't had a chance to even attempt that because I've been behind. But yeah, it says a private detective teams up with an ex-cop to solve a kidnapping case in Montana. So it really doesn't show anything, but I don't know why. I just get the feeling, not necessarily sci-fi, but it looks like it's like got some kind of weird, I don't know, for whatever reason,
oh,
I feel
you
like
know
that
what?
Weird element. It's David E. Kelley.
I saw a promo for it, I think.
Yeah, they've been airing it. I'm not even
yeah.
sure what it is. It reminds me of like maybe like a Wayward Pines type vibe, I guess, is sort of what I was getting, and I don't even know why. But it's not, like I said, it's not even about that. It's just, I feel like there's something weird, not necessarily sci-fi, but just something weird in that town going on. I don't
yeah.
know. I guess we'll find out. But anyway, I want to see it. So
all right.
That was my point. All right. Well, do you want to start with Fear the Walking
sure.
Dead?
Okay.
So,
hey,
I was going to say, other than the ending, I actually liked this one a good bit. I don't know if you did or not. But I thought this one was pretty good.
I thought there were parts that were pretty good, but I was very frustrated with the way things went near the end. Like
yeah, I
was very
like
frustrated with decisions that the characters made in this episode were frustrating and stupid. But it was fairly well paced.
Mm-hmm.
Just every decision every character made was kind of, the decisions that John and June and Virginia made were kind of silly. But stuff happened and it was decent. It was decent.
Yeah. So I guess the main, this is obviously, I would say June's episode for the most part, but, it's about the oil rig. I guess it's an oil rig. What do you want to call it? Blowing up. And they think that it was done on purpose by the group that's spray painting things. And we still don't really know too much about them, which I guess Virginia has, whether or not she will keep up her agreement, but has agreed to tell June more about them in the future. But, I don't know. I mean, obviously in this episode, Virginia was more about finding out who did it than she was caring about saving the people. But I still feel like at the heart of it, she's hard to say things. I don't want it to come out the wrong way because obviously she didn't, you know, it wasn't per se about the people as much. But I think in the end she is trying to still keep them alive, and she feels like she has to know who did this, and that's all that matters, which is not good. But she did at least send the people in to try to, you know, save some of them. Unfortunately, which I have to wonder why, when you have so many people that are almost dead, that you would stick them in a truck together with nobody there to watch over them. Because
yeah,
it's like, you
right?
only need one dead to make them all dead, or undead to make them all undead. So that kind of went out the window. And it's like they went through all that to save all those people, and now they're all walkers. That was kind of dumb. But other than that,
yeah.
for the most part, I liked it. I mean, I never at any point thought that June would let Ginny die. I mean, she's a nurse. It's just not who she is. Of course, everybody's rooting for her for that. But you just kind of didn't think it was going to happen. There were certain things I liked about it. Like, I liked that she definitely was thinking that way. I mean, she really made a decision to save her after. Like, I feel like at the beginning she really felt she wasn't going to, but she changed her mind. But she did it in a way that it was like, if I help you, you're going to do what I want. Not that she knew she could trust her, which is kind of the dumb part. Like, how did she know Ginny wasn't just going to turn around and kill her? But, you know, she cut off and cauterized her hand, however you want to say, her wrist, and saved her.
I kind of disagree. I feel like it was stupid and unearned and not a decision June would really have made. I knew that June wasn't going to kill Ginny because it's only episode 6. and,
right.
I mean, to me, that was the only reason not to kill Ginny.
Well,
and
yeah,
I think
but I mean,
that,
I just didn't think they expected, you know, I didn't expect
like,
her to.
I don't think June is a person who really feels like she, like, every life is worth saving. I mean, we've seen these characters go through too much for too long, and while, yeah, she's a nurse and wants to save people, I think June didn't survive this long in the apocalypse by letting people like Ginny leave, like, by letting...
Right, but...
It just made no sense to me to let Ginny live.
I agree with that, but it's just, at the same time, if she thought she would really keep up her end of the bargain, she did save people because of it, because she knows it. And again, I know you really couldn't trust Ginny, but, you know, not the greatest writing.
Why can't you kill Ginny and then go back and build a hospital anyway? Like, why is Ginny, who knows nothing about hospitals, the only person who can build a hospital?
That is true.
Like,
but the other thing, though, is I wonder, though, and I don't know. I mean, we don't know what would happen. But you also don't know that if there wasn't a leader to those people, that any of them would even stay there, any of them would help what would happen. And I feel like in her mind, at least doing it, she, like, got something out of it. Again, I think she should have killed her. You knew that wasn't going to happen no matter what,
yeah.
I guess is my point. So in the sense of already accepting that, I kind of liked how she was like, you're going to do this for me. Thought she was going to ask her to let John go, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the hospital. But yeah, I liked how she got Wendell back and everything. I don't know. I mean, I even think even the thing at the beginning seemed, and this part severed from that, but at the beginning I kind of liked and I felt was a little more realistic how, like, she's upset and they're trying to save this guy, and it's like, you can't really save people with the way it's going, you know? And she was all upset that he died, but it's, like, too much. And some of them are just going to die, and you have to, like Jason, you have to choose which ones to save. And part of that is, in the zombie apocalypse, is true, that June, I think, needs to learn it's not always going to work out. But sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, so that was another frustrating thing about June in this episode. It's not like she's just brand new in the apocalypse and then plopped into it. She basically ran a hospital at the baseball stadium when Madison ran that. I mean, and June,
yeah, that
I mean,
shit too, so.
It did, but like, I don't understand why, like, it's so shocked. Like, June reacted to that guy's death as though she's never, like, lost a patient before.
No, I know, but she talked him into it and lied, and so, well, she didn't exactly lie.
Whatever,
she talked
like,
him into it.
I mean, he had a burst appendix.
Yeah,
there
was
no talking him into it. He was going to die, right? I mean, also, like, prior to this, she was a trauma nurse. Don't tell me she never lost a patient in the hospital
no,
in her
right.
entire career, right? Like,
you're
I just
right.
felt
you're
like
right.
I felt like they made June into this, like, I mean, I know that Morgan spent all of last season, like, brainwashing them into being these, like, big do-gooders who believe everyone's good and wants to save them. And maybe, like, maybe June's still suffering from that. I don't know. But I thought, like, June behaved in this episode a way that – they needed to set it all up for her to let Jenny live. By making her like this sort of, I don't know. I feel like she's certainly lost many, many patients in her career pre and post apocalypse. And she, you know, I do appreciate it. You know, I do, much like 2 weeks ago, I kind of enjoyed, and we talked about this, the way John Dory felt like he's settling in at Lawton and was doing, he's like, I kind of like being a cop here. I feel like I'm doing some good until like Jenny blew it off for him. Like June sort of feels that way also, although the methods are unsustainable, right?
Right, but she's followed up by the end of the episode, yeah.
Yeah. For her to let Jenny live, to me, is inexplicable. Ginny's so horrible. I do think that Ginny became a little bit more bit scarier. You know, we've complained week after week, why does everybody follow Ginny? How does she maintain such control? And like, she's just not that scary. And she became a little scarier. It also, to me, was a little better. Like, Ginny's been basically really worried about graffiti artists. Now we saw the graffiti people apparently blew up the oil rig, right?
So maybe there was a little bit.
They're more legit. That was my favorite part about blowing up the oil rig, because it is so stupid that they have an oil refinery. It's so ridiculous that they have unlimited gasoline and can drive anywhere they want all across Texas every day.
At least they're making a reason for that unlimited gasoline, right?
I feel like blowing it up corrects a wrong from 2 seasons ago. I'm sure they didn't do it on purpose, but to me, I was like, oh my God, they're finally undoing the bad writing of the last 2 years by eliminating this stupid, like, unlimited resource that they have.
Yeah, but they'll still have gas somehow.
So
when they need it.
I was glad they did that. It was nice to see Lucia, and yet it was horrible to see Lucia, because she is another character who's been sort of ruined over the last couple years. Who was introduced as
about her type of thing.
Yeah.
Like she hasn't.
And remember
really
when
been...
she was like, remember she was like the badass leader of that Mexican town where Nick went? And then they just sort of like ruined her,
yeah.
And she didn't really do anything. She was kind of useless in this episode.
Well,
like,
I think at the beginning she was more, I can't think of the right word, but she was more there as a side part to Nick, and then he died, and
yeah.
It's like they didn't necessarily know what to do with her sometimes, I think.
Yeah,
but yeah,
they ruined her when they made her...
Right, but she was finally getting
a love interest.
Stuff, and she was finally starting to become a character, and then, yeah, she just... I think part of it, too, she just stayed with them, so we haven't seen her for a while either. I think there's things about having these single episodes that I like in the sense that you're getting more... detail into what's going on. You're getting a more complete story for each character, but I don't like, as probably nobody likes, that they're, you know, you're only seeing little pieces of snippets, different pieces of different people, you know what I mean? We haven't seen her for a long time. And it's like, it seems like, oh yeah, I forgot about that character. Like, why have we not, like, I need to see more of what's happening in a whole
of what's
going on.
Well, I think they need to kill some people. Kill some
yeah,
people. There's too many people to have this going on, right? And if Lucia is just going to be like this person who doesn't even know better than to not put a bunch of injured people unsupervised into a trailer, right? And then she doesn't
really
even
dumb.
Kill any. Like when all the walkers come out, only June and Ginny kill any of them. And what is Lucia doing all that time? Like, she's not killing any zombies. She's like either kill her or like return her to her former like badassery. Because she was, she's kind of disappointing. There's a bunch of other stuff to talk about, but we should talk about the end, the main part of the story with John. It's a horrible, horrible ending. Like, okay, so for a bunch of reasons, why do you think it's a horrible ending?
Well, I think it's a horrible ending because they were two of the characters I actually liked, and they had, like, the nice storyline, and they made him leave her, which is, pisses me off. But on a side note from wanting that, you know. I don't know. I think that I enjoyed that they had the story. Like I said, I think it was interesting that they were kind of, and you said this earlier and a little bit ago, is that they were kind of getting into the groove of being in this place and finding a way to make it work for them, and now he's like, nope. And it irritates me because they're supposedly so much in love and they've gone through so much to get back to each other. And now suddenly after she puts them together again, he's like, nah, I'm just going to go out on my own. You keep staying. Like, I don't know. It to me just seemed very out of character that he decided to leave her to go off on his own. And also, does he not think, at least if I was writing the show anyway, or it was, you know, a real thing, I would think that since other people know him, I don't remember who, but I'm pretty sure some of them know where his cabin is. I would be afraid that she would torture his friends to find out where he's at in the first place. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but that was my first thought, is she's going to find him. I think now there's a chance if June listens, she may not go after him because of what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know, and because I don't know that they're going to kill him right now. But, yeah, it just didn't work for me. And he just, like, didn't even say goodbye.
Nope.
He just, just didn't work.
I mean, I agree with you 100% on most of those points that, you know, John's entire life is June, right? June's his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent, like, when they were introduced, he spent an entire season trying to find her after she ran, right? She was a character.
Mm-hmm.
She's the runner. She's been established as the runner since she was introduced. In this episode, they make John the runner, and John's been established as the totally loyal guy who will always, like, follow, and they made him the runner, and it's so disappointing that they just brought them back together last week, and to break them up this week, the same as they did with Sherry and Dwight. I feel like the writers are just working from some checklist, and they're like, bring them together, spread them apart, like, don't, like... It just
piss off the fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's just not. You're right. It's not anything John Dory would do. It frustrated me that they didn't. They could have made this like a simmering thing and a conversation. They barely had a 2-minute conversation about it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
If you're going to decide to do that, you should. Like, June wouldn't really talk about it before she just shut him down and was like, "No, I want to stay." And John didn't really like. No one says, "Okay, let's talk about when we get home. We don't have to do it right now." Right? Like,
this is how
people in love talk and negotiate. And
mm-hmm.
for her to shut him down immediately and him to just leave and the whole thing happens, and like, it happens in the middle of a massive emergency.
It's just so frustrating
that it's not how either of these characters would act. That June would choose helping people over John. I don't know. And that John
was ready to leave before the hospital. I mean, at first she was like, we're going to get out of here after here. And then she changed her mind and they didn't talk it through. The thing is, I could have even found it more believable if he got screwed trying to help that girl in that other episode or whatever, because at least he was risking what he had to help somebody, not just, I want to be free. There's just so many ways it doesn't work. But
well, and she can continue to help people. Like, without being under Ginny's thumb, or as I said, she still could have killed Ginny and then started a hospital without Ginny,
she
right?
Done that.
Or she could have discussed it with her husband and they could have made a plan. Or,
right.
I mean, for her to, like.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I guess my point was why, like I said about her not killing Ginny, it's not that I didn't think she should have and it made sense. I was just kind of like, you know, that's not where the writers are going. So.
No.
Kind of accepted it from that fact and was like, well, at least if she did this, this has come out of that. Not that that necessarily was even believable, but they're not going to kill their main villain.
I wish they would. I don't find her to be a good villain, and yet, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder about Ginny, if maybe she's in with the CRM, because Ginny... According to June had previously asked Ginny for a hospital, and Ginny said no because it's too dangerous to let people travel unescorted. And I took that to mean it's too dangerous, like Ginny doesn't want people walking around out of the control of her rangers. That's why June has to have this mobile hospital and keep driving around, because Ginny doesn't want people traveling. Like, the weirdest thing about Ginny... is that, you know, she says she's doing everything to help people and building the society, but they're all prisoners and slaves, and they can't, you can't leave, right? And you can't. So, like, is she capturing them and, like, sending off A's and B's to the CRM occasionally? I just thought of that, like, right now, right? I don't really know. But it's so weird that she does this without any real, Like, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no method to her madness that I can understand, and it just seems dumb. And, I mean, my other theory that I haven't worked up a theory yet, but we know there's something going on with Dakota, right? Like, it's just too weird. Like, I wonder if Dakota's
yeah,
even her sister and maybe not really her daughter that she's just saying is her sister.
Well, she definitely could be her daughter. I mean, I would think the age would work. But,
and it
seems strange that her daughter's so against her, too, although her daughter may just know how she is.
Well, her sister, supposedly. But
your daughter, sorry, I meant sister. But,
my sister, my daughter, my favorite Chinatown.
Yeah.
What?
Or a long time ago. But I do think she loves her sister, though. I think that part was genuine.
She does. I mean, there's something. Dakota's way too. Dakota's way too helpful to people that oppose. Like, Dakota always shows up at the exact moment that she needs to be there to give someone advice on how to, like, go against Ginny, right? And I just feel like she's suspicious. It's so obviously suspicious that there's going to be a big reveal coming at some point, right? There's got to be more to this character than just she has this sister.
Yeah, we can hope.
I mean, unless she's like unless the sister is like, Strand will eventually kidnap her to like, I don't control Ginny. I don't know, but the whole thing is weird.
Hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that just don't seem to. But again, it isn't always the best writing. So, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm not like I said. I enjoyed the episode. I did. There were obviously a lot of things that we complained about, but. But overall, I think it was a pretty enjoyable episode, and it's definitely still better than it had been. I just, it's so many separate, we're getting more of the character stories, and not that that's necessarily bad, but like I said, I feel like I'm still missing the overall view of where it's going, I guess, because we just keep getting these little snippets instead of getting, like, an idea of where it's headed.
And I missed my weekly Morgan epilogue that we didn't get any Morgan this week. Which, he must have seen the fire. Actually, one thing I was thinking about that fire, did you catch when not Alicia, Luciana, Ginny says something about when can we put this out, and Luciana says it could burn for weeks.
Can't put
and
it out.
Ginny says weeks, and Luciana says it could be months or years that it could burn, right? She says it could, which is true. An oil well can burn for years like that, but I was thinking, wouldn't every walker like in the entire southwestern United States
the fire.
Be attracted to that? That fire is going to burn for weeks or months or years. Like,
yeah, it'd be like the world beyond.
Right? It's putting
right.
that, yeah, like the world beyond tire fire and like attracting like
tons could help
and
them
tons.
If they just move away. But
well, yeah, right? Like,
yeah, I hadn't even
move
thought
somewhere
of that,
else
but you're right.
And let them burn. But it see, no one ever said, we got to get out of here. It's going to attract more walkers.
No.
No,
you're right.
I hope they do make it. I mean, that'd be great if they made it a plot point. Like, it does burn for a long time, and it does start to attract a swarm or a herd or whatever they call it on the show. That would be kind of great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be kind of like it'd be kind of great because it wouldn't just be a plot point that like is then thrown away.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, in all of it, we did get Wendell back. And they did save Wes.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know who Wes was till they showed him. Like, oh wait, that's Wes. I remember him.
Yeah.
I was wondering why they showed that thing at the beginning of him spray painting with Alicia. Why he just like kept? It seemed like what I don't get though is it seemed like he hid the spray paint. Like maybe if he hadn't hid them under his bed, it wouldn't have looked so guilty, you know? But
maybe he doesn't have any place to keep it, right? Maybe couldn't carry it around with him all the time. Do you think that he was just?
Oh, I don't think he's part of it. I guess
no,
he could have been before we met him because we didn't really know. But I would think you're supposed to assume he's good because I mean he was really painting things with Alicia. It's not like that part was made up. So
yeah, remember when they were painting trees for like four episodes? But yeah, he seemed to be a legit artist when we met him, and that seems like a thing that people who live with him should know and be like, no, the dude's an artist. Remember? And not like, and for Ginny, the whole torture scene was bad. I mean, first of all, torturing him is horrible to watch, but also like, really, Ginny, could you torture him when you get him home? Like, do you have to torture him right now?
Yeah, because
while
we're
everything's
all thinking
about to
this
explode?
Thing is on fire. Yeah, and I mean, it's like, just take him back. Let's do it.
Like, she's a terrible villain. Like, I think the governor or Negan, who she's clearly supposed to be, I feel like in the vein of them, but she's like a mini me. She's like a way less scary, like,
yeah,
governor
like they
or Negan.
Had a little bit more brains to get out of there first, I feel like.
Yeah, like I feel like she's like a poor man's governor. Well, I mean, she's not as
although
visibly psychotic.
Governor, so I don't know.
Yeah, she's not as visibly psycho as Negan and the governor are. And I guess that is one thing. Like, I hate to say that, like, not like she's not scared because she's not crazy. I mean, thinks what she's doing. I don't know. I guess she's been around so long that I feel like it's about time to let us in on what's up with her, because she's been around for most of last season and 6 episodes now into this season, and we don't have any real insight into her other than like having an annoying, stupid accent and like not having any motivations. Like, I need some character motivation soon from her.
Yeah. I feel like it could be there. They're just not writing it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I feel like it started off a little more promising. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what I expected, but it's kind of like, you're right. Like, we're still waiting for that and still don't know much more than we did, which is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. That is a problem. And with the break coming after next week, we're not likely to get anything anytime soon, right? So
right. Ooh, excuse me.
Next week is the mid-season finale, which it wasn't supposed to be. Usually the mid-season finale is episode 8, right? Next week's episode 7, because they got shut down due to COVID after episode 7, and they haven't started up again, right? Or they haven't started up again yet?
I'm not sure. When I had talked to them, it was quite a while ago, so I would say by now they might be. A lot of things have started back up, but I don't know.
Yeah,
that's although, a different area too, so I kind of guess it kind of depends.
Yeah. Well, and with the virus surging in 40 states right now, if they're started up, they might get shut down again soon. But at any rate, I don't, like, it remains to be seen to me if, like, for Walking Dead, usually the, well, no, I mean, this is the mid-season finale. It's not like the season finale. So I don't know if episode 7 will be a break. Like, episode 8 was probably written to be
the break,
right?
You're saying that
they
might, it might just be like it was a regular episode. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Depends if
yeah.
they rewrote or refilmed parts of it, which I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how long it will be until it comes back, right? I mean, the fact that, I mean,
I don't know.
It might
have
been that for a long time.
Places are filming yet, and I haven't been watching Talking Dead, but I'm guessing there's also a good chance that if we actually watch Talking Dead,
Talking Dead,
might answer some of that.
Talking Dead was taken off AMC and it was put on AMC Plus, and you can only watch Talking Dead if you have the subscription.
It's on my DVR. It wasn't on Sunday night. It was on like Saturday night or something.
It's not on mine at all. I read that.
And it's still from home, but it hasn't been on, I don't think, every week. Like, maybe some of them were only on AMC Plus, but as far as I know, it's still on my DVR. I don't know. It recorded. So I'll have to look and see.
I believe that
Cutlets, I think, was on it.
They still advertise it. Like, Hardwick still appears during Walking Dead and talks about, like, tonight on, like, you know,
maybe then
Talking Dead or whatever.
Let me see.
But Talking Dead is now available only to AMC Plus and Premiere subscribers.
Well, I do know for a while we were getting charged for it, and I didn't even notice it because they hadn't canceled it. So one's from before, maybe, but Walking Dead. Well, no, there's. Okay,
I mean,
there's
whatever. I think
Dead.
Chris.
Let's see. No, I know.
I think
this one is from 11/14. Yeah, that's a new one, and it's on regular AMC. So maybe some of them. Although I should say this one, I think, is more about World Beyond, so maybe like the other one is. Maybe like they're only put one on. I don't know. But anyway,
maybe,
it recorded at any rate, regardless. I just didn't watch it. All right.
I mean, I think Chris Hardwick is a terrible interview. I mean, I know he gets paid not to really be a journalist on the show, just to be a fanboy on that show. Anyway, yeah, that's all that happened on this episode. Are we good? You want to move on to the other show?
Yeah, my point was just that they may talk on that about how far filming is, was my whole point of that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's what I was saying.
I derailed us.
Yes, we got a decide discussion. That's okay. But anyway, let's move on to World Beyond. So I actually this one, I mean, I said last week I thought was decent. I like this one even more. It's like something's finally happening because it's been so slow. I don't know that necessarily, and we'll get into that as we get towards the end of the episode, I don't know if I like where it's going, but at least something happened. Like, it's at least moving, you know? I think the fact that they at least have a truck and found where they're going is a big plus, because we complain about how they're walking all the way to New York and how are they going to get there and everything. So at least that is potentially, will be able to be sped up. I think it's neat how they found this stuff on the map that will help them. And I did like some of the character development that and that. I liked kind of Huck's conversations with Hope about, you know, it's their job to carry the burden, and that, like, it's not about her because it would hurt him, and kind of that whole discussion. And it's obviously also, it seems to me also that he has a crush on her. I mean, it hasn't necessarily shown it's more than friends, but I think, I don't know, he was so drunk it was hard to tell. But the fact of what happened with Percy and Silas, I, number one, don't believe it's what we're seeing, and number two, it was dumb. But we'll get to that when we get to it. What did you think about the episode?
So, I mean, I think this I agree with you. I think this continues to be, like, not that good a show and kind of slow and boring. And, like, this was the first episode where something kind of really big happened.
Yeah, I like the show. I just keep saying every week nothing happened because, like, my mom missed it for a few weeks, and, you know, she really likes Walking Dead. And I'm like, you can just watch this one. This is all that happened. And, like, I could summarize in, like, you know, a couple paragraphs. You're caught up. that's not good. You
I
know?
Mean, part of the
More
problem
happened in those
is
little clips at the end of the episodes.
Part of the problem is that it's 20 episodes, and I think they are not taking the time to. I don't know if they're not taking the time to develop these characters or they don't know how to develop these characters.
I don't know, but I'm sick of
And I think that the characters don't have a lot of chemistry necessarily. I agree with you that a bunch happened and we got, you know, so this was the Huck flashback episode.
Yeah, saying that, I did like her story, though. I thought her story was a little more interesting, maybe because she's older. Not totally interesting, but at least more so than some of the kids. I think the thing about her cutting herself was pretty obvious. But the only thing I was going to ask is, okay, first of all, they're horrible that they were going to kill everybody, but, you know, they were about saving them. But
it was so dumb.
Kid supposed to be her boyfriend, because I don't know if they said something earlier or I just assumed her for whatever reason I thought she was a lesbian, and then in this episode I thought that was like her boyfriend, and I wasn't sure if we were supposed to think that or not that it matters, but I'm just kind of like, can't misread that.
It's intentionally vague, so definitely, like, they're supposed to be, like, you know, they're Marines and they're partners, and so they have that bond of best friends and, like, someone's got your life in hands, but it's intentionally
clear.
It's intentionally not clear. I read an interview with the showrunner afterwards, and he said that it's not. Like, it's an open question whether there was more
to the relationship. I mean, I don't need to know. I just was kind of like, confused or did I get it wrong?
I mean,
but
at a minimum, she
really
liked
important.
Him and was interested in him. There was sort of a bit of, there was definitely a flirty, like, they were just getting too close to each other. And,
right.
Like, in
but
each other's
also
space
could
too
be
much.
Bisexuals too. We have no idea. But yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
It
was all set up so that when she
another.
Killed him, it would be a big deal. I really don't like Annette Mahendru in this role. And I love her.
She
was fantastic in The Americans. She was absolutely fantastic. She did one episode in The X-Files. She did like four seasons on The Americans.
No, I didn't see The Americans.
And she was
much of it.
She was fantastic. AJ and I both loved her in The Americans. And I think she won some, like, one or two awards for her act, for, like, you know, nominated for an Emmy, I think, for her role in The Americans. And I just don't like her in this role. And, I mean, it's partly, I think, because her character is boring.
Not giving her enough to do, I think. Yeah.
And the writing is not, you know, that good. I actually really just don't like the flashback conceit in this show.
No, I don't either. Yeah.
Which is not something the other series do, and it's kind of unnecessary, and I really...
Yeah, they can tell their stories without it.
Well, yeah, and it's supposed to be about kids who grew up in the apocalypse, but it's all about their trauma from really before the apocalypse, right? From when they were, like, 4 years old. I do think that Huck has the most interesting backstory, being in the Marines and what they did I mean, I think it's to me, didn't make any sense that all of a sudden the Marines have orders to shoot all the civilians also. It just made zero, absolutely zero sense.
Maybe that's
it's
when
not
they became
explained.
CRM, I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you.
No, it's just dumb. And then they have this whole, like, we're Marines, we follow orders, and so she has to disobey the order and kill her entire squad to protect the civilians. And so I get that, except that I'm, like, screaming at my TV that it made no sense. And it particularly doesn't track with what we saw in Fear the Walking Dead, where the military came in and set up a camp and really tried to, like, maintain
mm-hmm.
society and help the civilians. I mean, yes, we had a little bit of, like, the oppression of martial law, but they weren't, like, outright shooting civilians.
Right.
And it just...
Yeah. And they know how to not get infected. I mean, maybe at that point they didn't, but you still wouldn't say kill everybody even if they're fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
You know, I did appreciate that in her flashback we got a little bit more of a sense of time. Like, I've complained that they keep trying to make The Night the Sky Fell happen and be a thing. And we know that it didn't happen in a night because we've watched the other two shows, and it's just so dumb. And we got, you know, Huck's experience gave me a little bit more of a sense that it unfolded over, you know, they were in the bar, and then they see the TV with the riots at the hospital and whatever, or the hospital's closed. And, I mean, maybe...
Yeah, that's why I said I think a lot of it's just the way the kids look at it. More
the
way
they can perceive it, yeah.
So
while I really don't like Annette Mahendriller in this role, or I don't like the work they're getting, like,
I don't like the
how they're using her. And Michael Cudlitz directed, who plays Abraham on the flagship series. He directed the last two, and I think he did a generally okay job, but it's not her best work. It's not the best use of her or something. I just don't love her in it. I thought cutting her own face was kind of dumb, but it was pretty obvious also.
Yeah, it was coming. You knew. As soon as you saw he had a scar on his face, you knew.
Yeah, I liked her advice to Hope when she told Hope, don't tell, what are you going to tell Elton for? That's so selfish. Like, stop it with the selfish action here, right? I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I did too. And I like I said, I liked her explanation of that. And she's like, the fact that you took that necklace, that proves that you're good because you're not letting yourself forget what you did. Like, it's not just like, you know, it's over. That you know it's going to affect you, and that makes sure that you make the right choices in the future. Now, the big part that I have a problem with that I still don't get is why the hell she killed that guy. Because she clearly could have saved him. He clearly had given up. Why did she kill him? There was, in my opinion, she didn't need to, especially after she gave that speech and after she killed all the other guys for killing people for no reason, and then she turns around and kills him. That to me just didn't fit. What did you think about that?
I think that she couldn't save him. She doesn't know how long ago it's been. First of all, she has no ability to chop off his leg and stop the bleeding and save him. Like, what? She's not a nurse. She's not a doctor. They have no equipment. They have no nothing. She doesn't know, and she doesn't know how long it's been. He woke up that morning and he'd been bitten. Like, you could chop someone's arm off immediately when they get bit in order to save them. Like, there's no way she can save him.
I guess I didn't thought it through quite like that, but I think they could have done it a little less, I don't know, a little less the way they did it, but I guess that makes sense if you think it through. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is Percy and Iris. Now, I think they made Iris act a little too dumb. Like, I'm going to need gloves then. Like, come on. She's not that young that she doesn't understand what he meant. But but then again, it's hard to tell because sometimes the writing's so bad, it might just be that that's all it is rather than me trying to make more out of it. But I feel like it was a setup and he did not do that. I almost wonder if, because that Percy didn't want to share her, if maybe, although why he would kill his own uncle, I don't know. But I almost wondered if maybe he did that just so he can get Silas out of the way, because there was a point of the fact that Silas refused to drink, and now he's drunk on the floor after he beat somebody up. It's like, you beat somebody up before, therefore you beat this person. I don't know. It just seemed way too contrived and just did not work at all for me.
Well, so I agree with you. It's clearly a setup. I mean, that guy was clearly killed. First of all, they make a huge deal about Silas, like, glowering at Percy that he's clearly jealous of Hope, right? Hope, Iris, whichever one she is, I can't tell them apart. And then they make a big point of him not drinking, and then they make a big point of, like, the wrench is lying there, Tony's face is dashing with the
obvious.
Wrench, there's blood everywhere, and Flies is covered. It's obvious that Percy framed him, right?
Yeah, but the question is, did Percy go crazy and kill his uncle, or is it possible that, like, he found his uncle dead and he decided to take advantage of it? Although, I have to
wonder,
the one thing
is that guy even his uncle?
Yeah, I guess he could not be. But she called to him. They showed, it looked like somebody was in the next room. I wasn't sure. At first I thought maybe she saw him too. But then they didn't show body, and I thought I must have misunderstood that. It was just the way they shot it. Because I first thought maybe she did find him, but then I'm like, nah, she must not have. But I can't remember what the preview showed, to be honest, so I don't know. But it just seems way too, yeah, somebody definitely framed him.
I mean, it's
probably
just so, it's just way too obvious. That it could be, especially with, I think, three or four episodes to go, it's just way too obvious. They've been, like, setting it up that Silas is, like, violent and can't control himself when he's pushed and whatever, but, like, he killed his father, we think, after, like, a lifetime of
abuse,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not because
he's
just... And, yeah,
he attacked that walker, but it was a walker, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't a person.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him maybe attacking Percy if they got an argument and it was a heat of the moment, but I don't believe he'd follow him. And, like, why would he kill Tony? First of all, and not
That's
Percy.
I was going to say, Tony didn't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and why would he follow him and basically kill him in cold blood? Like, I think Percy is the one, like, they've been clear that Silas doesn't, like, Silas had a bad feeling about Percy from the jump, and Silas turned out to be right, and there's more probably for Silas to be right about. Now, Tony did tell Felix a good story about how when Percy came into his life as his nephew and he was an alcoholic and then he fell in love with the kid and, like, it saved him, whatever. I mean, it sounded good,
sure,
but they're both con men.
What would be the point for him of lied about that, though, especially when they're going to kill the character? Like, I'm
I
not
don't
sure
know.
That
they're
that,
con men.
Unless it was just as a red herring, but I don't see the point of why he would have lied about that if they were
Who
even
knows?
Going to kill
they're
off the
con men. They've been conning people for 10 years. They're not maybe capable of telling the truth anymore.
That's true, too.
I did like that scene. I thought the Felix and Tony scene was kind of like, felt like a real conversation that was decently written, except that it could all be a lie.
Yeah, it could be. I think that Percy framed him, but I don't know why he would kill his uncle, which leads me to believe that it's probably more likely that his uncle got killed and he found the body and was like, well, I can, you know, take care of this and use it to my benefit. Or I could just be completely wrong and he bashed his head in. We'll find out why. That part is the only part to me that doesn't track of why he would have killed his uncle, but I definitely think he set up Silas regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was I going to say about that? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, supposedly they've been together for like 10 years since the apocalypse started doing this, so for Percy to just up and kill Tony is also kind of surprising, right? That's kind of weird. So, I mean, maybe they haven't been together for 10 years. Like, we don't know what could really be a lie with them, which is kind of uncool. Like, you know, as you say, what reasons do they have to lie other than for the story? Like, it would be, I don't always love when a show gives us a big revelation like that without setting it up, right?
Right.
And we have seen Percy be kind of a knight. Like, he's immediately attracted to Iris, who, of course, he probably hasn't met a girl for, like, the last 7 years.
Yeah, but I mean, that's neither here nor there.
But,
that's not really...
You know, they're doing this flirty thing, and he seems to be interested and be... Like, he does these nice things, right? And then, like, for him to, like, just go and kill his uncle for maybe no apparent reason. It's definitely the uncle. Apparently, there was some... in this interview I read with the showrunner,
I didn't know there was a question.
No, there was some speculation that, is it really Tony? Like, they're both con men. He's a magician. He's a massive illusion. Is it just a walker dressed up to look like his face is smashed in? Can you really tell?
And
that
maybe they're both
a shirt
in on it, yeah.
But the showrunner said, no, it's definitely Tony.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, but that actually made more sense. That would have been better writing. But,
yeah, it would have.
But, you know, that's why I said maybe we're wrong, and it's just going to end up Silas did it. And then I'm just going to be like, I don't know if I care now.
Yeah.
If that's what
you know
do.
What I think it is bad writing is that the serum has gasoline cached all over the United States and they have a map to it. It raises the same question Yeah, it's a secret map that, you know, you can shine a light on. It's written with invisible ink. The idea of, like, endless gasoline continues. And, in like, does the CRM have an oil refinery somewhere also?
Which actually that they have, like, makes sense that maybe that's connected to that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, there was a definitely, like, a slip in the writing where Tony makes this remark, like, they've got these, this fuel depots all over the country, all over this map and whatever. We keep going to them. The helicopters land, they fuel up and take off. All the places are unmanned. Remember he says that? Like, there's never any guards. The helicopters land, fuel, believe it. I'm like, thinking to myself, do helicopters run on the same fuel that a truck runs on?
Okay, that, like, I don't that, know. You know more than me, apparently.
That seems
that
to
I
me to be,
of.
Like, a big slip, right? That, like, I'm like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, you're
just
probably right,
no
but
sense
I never would have thought of that, so.
It, to me, it makes little sense if the CRM has, like, I mean, they have hundreds of thousands. There's 200,000 people in Omaha. There's more in Portland. There's more in New York. Like, why do they have all of their places unmanned? Like, that is a question that I guess maybe we'll
find
out.
We don't even know who those people were either. That, I think, would have been more interesting to find out who the heck they were. But we didn't even find that out. Yeah.
So we can't let this episode go without talking about Mountain Dew. Oh, my God. God, I could not
believe. That's my pop of choice, Mountain Dew. That was Diet Mountain Dew. I'm pretty sure that was Diet Mountain Dew. But I'm just saying, because I pulled the wrong ones by mistake. They're light gray, and then I'm like, oh, God, and I throw it away and get another one because I will not drink Diet Mountain Dew. So,
oh, you might if it was the last if it was the last Mountain Dew left on the planet,
no,
you might
I
drink
know.
It.
That's why I drink the water. I can't stand it. No,
that was a pretty
blatant
and awkward product placement.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you catch in the beginning when they were walking past the big Mountain Dew sign on the side of the building? Earlier in the episode?
Now that you said that, I'm kind of seeing it in my head, but I didn't. Like, I think probably I've seen it, but it didn't connect with me until you
they
said it.
They were walking. It was before they got where they were going.
Was it,
going
like, painted on the building, kind of?
Yes, it was when Huck was
okay.
on her own, I
think.
She goes past this old-timey general, and it was the old-timey, you know when they sometimes do the can with the old-timey logo that looks like a mountain man, and it's written in, like, Mountain Dew, and it's not the modern logo, it's the old logo, was on there. And then later, and I mean, it was so blatant. They have a conversation, like, Felix is like, oh, I used to love these, I used to drink them so much. I'm like, oh my God, this is, so I read afterwards that AMC has signed a deal with PepsiCo and there will be more Pepsi product placement throughout the Walking Dead universe, which I don't know how it's going to happen other than people walking into stores and being like, it's the last Pepsi on earth. It's the last Doritos on earth. I love them so much.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah. They'll be finding Doritos next year. I forgot those were that company.
Or they'll go, don't they own like Yum Brand? Will they walk past the KFC or someplace that sells Pepsi?
Yeah, I don't.
But it, like, I think, look, I understand product placement raises money for things.
Well,
but
it's
I think
better than
good,
adding more commercials, though, in that sense. But
I just think good product
so.
Placement, good product placement flows naturally in a
they
show.
Don't have to talk about it.
And they don't have to talk about it. And it took me out of the show was the problem with it, right? Like when Carl, remember when Carl finds a big thing of pudding and he eats the whole pudding in like three or four seasons ago on Walking Dead?
Yeah.
He eats like 100 ounces of pudding. And they didn't, like, okay, you could have put like a brand name on the side of that and let that be the product placement, but it was like part of the story of pudding, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to have a conversation about it. Or like on 24, Jack Bauer always drove a Ford. Which was kind of stupid. I didn't really believe that. But anyway, he's driving these Fords around. Like, things are, like, to me, the way they wrote that, it took me out of the story. And I was like, holy, I texted you right away. I was like, holy product placement, Jamie.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't seen it yet when you said that. That's why when you said that, I didn't know. I'm like, what is she talking about? And I forgot to write you back after I seen it. Yeah, it was kind of obvious.
I understand why it has to happen. I wish they could do a better job of working it in there.
Yeah, you know, with the cars, though, I never even used to look, to be honest, And then, yeah, if you look, every time somebody drives a car in shows anymore, you can see the logo. But at least when they're driving a car, you know, Chevy, whatever they're driving, they don't stand and talk about, oh, look at the new Chevy I bought, you know. That's kind
I'm
of the
so
problem.
I'm so glad I found a Chevy. Yeah.
No.
It was a little, and I think they better, I hope it's not, you know, I hope they get better at it with, there's going to be more Pepsi placements. I mean, we're not going to see much more Walking Dead for the next probably 12 months.
Yeah, it's going to be well.
Once these shows get to their conclusion for now.
I do.
So if we want to end without criticizing but being positive, I agree with you that at least the pacing picked up, and like this thing with Tony being killed is a flawed storyline, but at least it's a big cliffhanger and something's going to happen. And it's more
right.
like it's like a mystery for them to solve as a group instead of like each person having their own little thing every week.
Right, definitely.
So, yeah. We didn't get any CRM. Did we get? Oh, we did get a CRM post-credit, post-season, post-whatever.
I had written you, and I don't think you got the email, the message in time, but I was trying to find that out because it wasn't, like, my DVR cut off in the middle of the preview, and it wasn't on demand.
Maybe we did. Was it this week? Or last week? No, we didn't. It was last week where the woman gets the phone call and says, okay, I'll be ready when they get here.
Yeah,
there wasn't one this week, right?
Okay, good. Then I didn't miss anything.
I think there wasn't one this week.
Well, there wasn't. There was. It seems like there was one every other week, maybe. Because it wasn't the one before that one, there was none either.
I don't remember it. We had one. If we had one, I don't remember it. I think we didn't have one.
I don't know if they're usually on demand, so I couldn't answer that. But I'll set mine for a couple minutes after next time to make sure. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I guess that's it. And I guess that's it for
me.
But like I said, I do want to watch Big Sky, and we'll have next. If you guys still want to talk about next.
Yeah, I'll watch. I mean, what am I going to do? I got to stay home now with the pandemic. Stay home even more than usual. So might as well watch more TV.
And it may be getting worse with closing, so we don't even know.
We'll be home even more, So,
okay. All right.
We'll pick that up next week.
Guys. Good night, AJ.
Good night, Jamie.
I never get to talk to AJ.
Jamie.
He's always so quiet because he doesn't like it.
I know.
Well, that's why I mute myself while you guys are talking about the Dread.
Yeah.
What?
The Walking Dread.
The Walking Dread, yeah. It kind of feels like it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good night, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
Hi, AJ.
Hello.
Welcome.
So
welcome to part two of our podcast.
You did your little rewatch beforehand, I take it.
I did. I got myself all caught up before I watched tonight's the most recent episode, and it was almost not necessary because this episode, this season premiere, definitely is launching a whole new we were in a new setting and new stuff is going on, and it seems like you didn't really need to remember that much except how badly Lyra's been betrayed, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing I had a problem with all episode is how old the actress that plays Lyra looks. It kind of took me out of it at first.
Yeah.
I said to Artie, I was like, you know, I think that's the one bad thing about, you know, having young actors in shows is, you know, you have all these months between the seasons and I thought, oh, tall Walt, except, you know, tall Lyra in this case.
Well,
you know,
it's interesting you should say that because the two seasons were shot together.
Were they really?
So they were, although I'm sure it took months and months and months to film the two seasons, right? And so a young child, Daphne Keene is only 15. She just turned 15 in January, Daphne Keene. She's not, so she's almost 16, Daphne Keene, right? So she probably shot this when she was, I don't know, 15 or 14 or whatever, but she's supposed to be 12 in the show. But to your point, I mean, how many months do you think it took to shoot these 15 episodes? Probably a year? I don't know, right? So yeah, a kid can grow rapidly in that time, I think.
Well,
you have teenagers at home. Do your teenagers
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Go ahead.
Artie's as tall as Alyssa.
And he's 13?
13. Yeah.
Yeah. And over eight, if you took a picture now and a picture in 8 months, he probably would be like 6 months,
yeah.
a couple
well,
inches taller
picture,
and looking
eight,
older, right?
Yeah, even if we went the opposite direction, you know, from now and look 6 months ago, I know he was shorter than Alyssa 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I actually thought that Pan's voice sounds like it has changed. And I thought that having watched a couple of, I watched a couple of last season today before I watched this episode. And I'm like, wait, is Pan's voice changing? Although they are also making a point about these kids being on the cusp of puberty, right? So maybe
right.
they did it on purpose, or maybe I'm crazy and she hasn't, but, she's supposed to be, I mean, in the books, I think she's 11 and Will, I haven't read them, but I think they're about 12, both of them. And so, I mean, nobody
casts
12-year-olds. You always cast a 15 or a 17-year-old with a 12-year-old anyway, right? And it's hard to make them seem young. Yeah. Hard to say. She does seem older, but anyway, I mean, she's great, right? She carries the whole series on her shoulders, and
oh,
she's
yeah.
great, but we she's a great actress. She was so fantastic in Logan, and I mean, everyone is great. Not everyone. Everyone except Lin-Manuel Miranda is great in this show.
Oh, come on.
He
didn't do much this week.
He didn't do much all of last season. His character is, well, I've not read the book, so I don't know if he's a bigger character in the books, but he's severely underimportant in this show so far. And he's not, I don't know if he's badly written or if Lin-Manuel Miranda is like not the right guy they should have cast for this sort of Indiana Jonesy kind of a guy. Or they don't know what to do with him. Like, I'm not really sure about him. But he was a little part of it, but he's still in it, and James McAvoy's not in it this season at all, right? So.
As far as I know, yeah, he's MIA.
No, he's not. So this season is only 7 episodes. They got them all shot. They were all done before COVID because they were all shot with last season. So they've been in the can for like 2 years, I guess. But there was supposed to be, they were going to add an 8th episode that was going to be a standalone James McAvoy episode, a standalone episode of Lord Asriel, and that they had it written and it got shut down because of COVID. So we're not getting that episode. We're only getting 7.
Gotcha.
So we won't see him at all. We won't see him at all. We were supposed to have 1 episode. But, so other than like thinking Daphne Keene's looking too old, how'd you like the episode?
Oh, it was good. I liked it, you know. We have a third world, apparently.
Yeah. Have you read the books?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
Which
I think
yeah.
is good. I don't want to get sucked into criticism from book readers.
Yeah. I felt bad for Will because Lyra's just taken over.
Yeah.
You know,
he goes,
why do you have to move into my house? And she's like, I'll take this bed. He's like, but that's where I was sleeping. He's like, okay.
I know. And when she says, oh, so you're a kitchen boy? Like, I actually didn't really, it didn't really like catch in my mind so much until the moment she says, so you're a kitchen boy, it occurred to me, like, she was raised with servants her entire life. Like, Roger brought her breakfast. She's never cooked anything, right? Roger brought her breakfast to her
right.
every single day of her life. And
well,
servants,
they all had,
like...
They all had... It's not that she grew up with servants. They all had jobs, you know? She... You know, they all...
Yeah.
She kind of... I don't... She grew up in a monastery.
She didn't have a job.
You know what I mean? So...
Yeah. She had no job. Also, I guess, if her father is named Lord Asriel, I guess he's... aristocracy, and maybe she's people have been treating her with a little bit of deference. Maybe she's like knew she's like an aristocrat. I don't really know. But when she says, "Oh, so you're a kitchen boy," I was like, "Oh my God, you're treating him like a servant." Because guess what? You pretty much have servants.
Well, no, I just think because the way her world was structured,
mm-hmm.
everyone had their job. Like, you were a kitchen boy, or you were this or that. Like multiple people didn't have a lot of, except for maybe the gypsies. People didn't have different skills.
Yeah, but they all had jobs to do things for Lyra that she didn't do for herself, right? Like, she's a little bit bossy, partly because she never had to – she was the boss of everyone, kind of, right? Capable and as capable as she is in a lot of ways, like, this was really interesting to me that she can't – she doesn't have to take a shower. Well, they don't have showers where she's from, but she can't cook anything. She doesn't – I mean, like – come on, she doesn't even know to crack the eggs. Like, she's pretty helpless in a lot of ways.
That was funny.
But it was interesting. I'm not trying to, like, run her down. It might sound like I am, but I did feel sorry for him, too. He was like, it's funny because he's the kid who he's done everything for his mom. Like, his mom is incapable,
right?
And he does everything. And, yeah, I felt, but he's like, that's why I was sleeping. Poor Will. Lyra's going to boss him around for the next 6 episodes. I mean, he also agrees to go to back to Oxford without much of a fight. Like, she bulldozed him a little bit into going back to his Oxford, right? And he didn't really maybe stand up for himself as well as he could have.
It's funny because, she's like, I can't go back to my world. I'm in danger. And I'm thinking, so is he. That's,
mm-hmm.
like, he kind of hightailed it because he knew shit wasn't right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and for
like,
all he knows,
I'll
he could
be
in worse danger, right? Like, for all he knows, he's in worse danger.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
he doesn't know why she can't go back. She doesn't say people are trying to kill me, which they're maybe not trying to kill her, but they're trying to capture her. And him too. So yeah, he's a little reticent about that. I kind of liked all their scenes together. I mean, they're both good actors, and I like that they do. And I liked that the episode gave us time to work that chemistry out and see them together. Like, with only 7 episodes, I feel like we're going to want things to move fast, but I think it was important to give us that time to see them together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make them...
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't read the book, but they're going to have to be a unit and be a team, I'm sure, right? And I liked time to let us see them together and build a relationship between them. In a way that, like, I complained about Lin-Manuel Miranda... Like, how he goes to the witches and he's like, I really care about Lyra and I want to take care of her. I'm going to go get this thing for her, whatever.
Yeah.
And to me, that's unearned. Like, we didn't really see enough of them together for me to feel like he really would go out of his way and risk his life for her. Like, yeah, when he met her, he, like, admired her because she talks a good game and she's a bit of a con artist like he is. But that doesn't feel – earned to you?
It started as a job, and I agree. I didn't really feel the transition from it being a job to, I mean, his ex-witch girlfriend there, she kind of coaxed him a little last season. Talked about how she's special and everything. But, I mean, because you know what it is? We saw a couple of, some time pass while they were in the balloon, but we don't know how long. We just know there was a decent amount of time. So I think that kind of takes away for us. What I mean? So it's one of those reasons where we don't realize how long something's been. Like other shows we complain about, oh my God, why aren't they over this yet? It's been a month. And then wait a minute. In TV time, it's been about 2 hours. so it's kind of the opposite effect here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So when I texted you today and asked you if you'd seen it, I was watching the scene where Lyra and Will encounter the two little girls who also live in the city. And you know, mm-hmm. you know why I immediately texted you about that?
Nope.
Well, did you recognize Bella Ramsey, the actress who played Lady Mormont in Game of Thrones?
I did not.
That was her, the dark-haired one?
I did not recognize her. Now that Now that you say that, I thought she kind of looked familiar, but I really didn't place her. But yeah, now that you say that, I see it.
It took me a couple minutes because she's older and she looked really taller to me, although maybe that's because she was not with a bunch of adults and she was with a bunch of kids.
Adults that were like 6'5 each.
Yeah. I felt like having seen her there, that maybe that's a character that's going to recur for a couple more episodes. And I do understand that the action is going to stay in the city for a while. I read that Lyra's not going to be running around from, you know how like last season, every episode was a new location and she goes from Jordan College to the Egyptians, to the North, to the polar bear place, to the place where they're separate, like every episode is a new location and she's going to stay in one place a little bit more for a while. I read this in the context of they now have more money to spend on special effects because they have to build locations all the time.
Gotcha.
And they actually built that city in their studio. They did not. That wasn't shot on location. It looks really like Italian to me. Or
you know,
like
that
Italian.
Is hilarious that you. That is so funny that you say that, because I said to Artie, I was like, I wonder where they shot this, because it looks very Italian. So I Googled, and actually most of their stuff, everything in the show, is either shot in Wales or in London.
Yep. And so they built that set at their studios in Wales.
Yeah.
But it looks really Italian, right? Like I felt like I was in a little Italian like village somewhere.
That's really funny
and
to
it,
say
it
that.
Really.
Yeah, I had the same feeling.
It looked almost as good. So you know how Game of Thrones shot everything on location except what they did with CGI? Like they'd go on location and then build it up extra with CGI. And did it look as spectacular? Maybe not. Did it look almost as, like, I thought it looked really good. I had a real good sense of the place where they are. Right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing where Game of Thrones would have gone to some little place in Italy and then digitally put in that big tower. It does feel a little bit like the place where the kids are there, definitely it feels smaller than like what we see when Lyra looks across the water at it, right? But I get that they stay in one place. I'm not in love with these ghosts go around the place, but I'm kind of intrigued. The specters, I'm a little bit intrigued how the specters only go after adults. And I felt like, you know, when they saw that guy who had been attacked by the specters and he was almost like a zombie, like at the water fountain.
Yeah.
He reminded me of the kids who had been separated from their demons last season. Cause they were a little bit zombie-ish also. Right. And I felt like, I'm not really sure where this is going, but I felt like, okay, so in our one world, when you get separated from your demon, you become this, you know, almost like a zombie. In this world, when the adults get attacked by the specter, they become like, I don't know what's going on here, but I feel like they're definitely like playing with some sort of mirror image or some sort of similarity going on, like an upside down kind of thing, right? Like, going on.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that connection, but you're right.
Like, and Mrs. Coulter had made a big, like, you know, how your demon settles when you hit puberty and your demon finally chooses what kind of animal it's going to be. And when Lyra was taken to that place in the north where they were going to separate her, the lady doctor had said, oh, look at her age. She's almost like, she's almost at the end. She's almost going to settle. She has to be prioritized for separation. Like, there's definitely, like, age is, like, a thing that I'm not, I don't really know what they're doing with it. I mean, I know that, I mean, so much of this is about, like, I mean, it's tied up in, like, puberty and, like original sin and, you know, when Mrs. Coulter made that big speech, that big monologue last year to Lyra about, like, original sin and, like, if we can separate you from your demon, it'll take away all these pesky adult emotions that you'll have. Like, it's definitely
right.
about sin, and I feel like sexuality is, like, an undertone there in becoming an adult. And so
well, yeah,
I'm rambling
that, like,
a lot. What's going
on? Like, the kids – no, I understand what you're saying, though, and I agree. Like, the kids, you know, they have dust and adults don't, and in this world, you know, it's
kids
when you become an adult, the specter comes after you. So by the
yeah.
way, speaking of this other world and the specters, did you get a Wizard of Oz feeling as they panned up looking at that spire?
Oh, like the Emerald City. I didn't until you just said it.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like the Emerald City. No, I did get a
like
little
a
bit of a lost feeling when we first saw the specter, which was a black cloud, which ultimately looks nothing like the black smoke monster on Lost. But in the beginning,
yeah.
I was like, oh, there's a smoke monster.
It looked more oily. It had more of an
yes.
oily look to it.
I thought it looked pretty cool when it comes up behind Will. Like, it's just waiting for Will as the next person
yeah.
to attack as soon as he's old enough, right?
Yeah.
And Will better get hightail it out of there to his own Oxford pretty soon before he gets attacked. So... I guess, so the other thing that happened there was the cat. He has to have a demon who's a cat. Remember that cat last season that we were always like,
yeah,
what was up with the cat?
Well, it's funny, I said to, and he followed the cat through the hole, through the window. So I thought for
yep.
sure you were right, because I remember you saying that all season, you know, you thought that the cat was his father's demon. So I'm thinking, I'm waiting for the cat to say something after they rescued the cat at the end of the episode. And the cat didn't say shit. So I was surprised by that. I really thought the cat was gonna, unless the cat's just being coy and not talking yet because it doesn't know who to trust.
Possible.
Because the cat
That's
doesn't
possible.
Know Lyra and Pan yet. So maybe once, you know, the cat's around them for a minute and the cat realizes what's going on, then the cat will be like, okay, cool, here's the deal.
Yeah, because, like, why did the cat even go through? Like I just can't buy that it's a total coincidence that Will followed a cat that happened to go through the doorway and that's how Will came through. Like, that cat led him for sure, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And there was that other cat that was in his house. Yeah, I mean, and there was a point in this episode where, you know, he says he's never seen a demon, he doesn't have a demon, and Lyra says, oh, I bet you have one. You just don't know it yet, or you just haven't seen it yet.
I think the demon, unless I'm missing, I mean, it's kind of your conscience, because Pan's constantly telling Lyra to do the right thing, and Lyra's constantly like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because in the sense that Pan is supposed to be an extension of Lyra, or that any demon is an extension of the person, like Pan is a very distinct personality. Almost,
yeah.
It's not Lyra talking to herself. You're right. It's like this conscience always playing in her head. It's interesting to me how talkative Pan is, and also Esther, who is the balloon guy, Lin-Manuel, Lee Scoresby's rabbit.
Lee.
Lee talks a lot, right? Esther talks a lot.
Yeah.
Mrs. Coulter's has never spoken. The monkey has never spoken, ever. It's probably afraid of her. But other, like, some demons are so talkative and some are not. It's never spoken.
Probably because she told it to shut the hell up, or she's going to beat the shit out of it.
We should talk about more about what she did in this episode, but I wonder, is it even her demon, or is it like, is it, is it someone else's demon that she has? Like,
no, I think it's hers because, you know, we know she got split from her demon, so I think
well,
I'm
we
pretty
think,
sure that must
yeah.
be hers.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't speak demon, right? She either got split from it or, well, I don't know, unless she's not from there. Like, I'm starting to think, as we watch the show, I'm starting to think about who is from their world and who has crossed over. Like, it seems increasingly obvious last season that Will's father, he's missing for 13 years because
oh, yeah.
he crossed over.
Yeah.
Now, is Will
yeah, was
Will's father
was friends with Azrael.
From the other side? Was he from the other side in the first place and went back, right?
Well, that's a good question. We don't know which side he's originally from.
Right.
We just know that he worked with Azrael.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that I'm not sure which side they're from anymore and where they, yeah.
Coulter's definitely from this side because from the side we think she's on because while she's willing to accept that there's other worlds, she doesn't act like a person that's ever actually experienced it.
Yes, and because of her long history with Lord Azrael, which everybody knows, like for Lyra's entire life, she's been...
Yeah, exactly.
And before, she has a long and well-known history in this world, so she's from
yeah.
this side. Which is, it's funny because I feel like Lyra's side, for the viewer, Lyra's side is sort of like our side or the original side, but really Will is from like our world, your world, and mine.
Our side, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I know what
yeah.
you mean.
So Mrs. Coulter was scary as shit in this episode.
Yeah, she was
good. I gotta say, I have said before that Ruth Wilson is not my favorite actress. I'm not a huge fan of hers, partly because I've only ever seen her play horrible, horrible villains in every role I've ever seen her in.
You should watch the watch The Affair.
I hate her in The Affair. I hate The Affair and I hate her
in
The Affair.
Are you watching The Affair?
She's a horror. I gave it up in like the third, like near the end of the third. Like
should, yeah,
after
you
the after
you watched it all the way through.
After the guy gets out of jail and they get together and then that all goes bad and then she's suing for divorce and all that. Like I watched all through that, but I never could finish it. Every character is wholly unlikable on that show.
But they're realistic
right?
because nobody's likable.
I know. And she was also a horrible psychotic villain in Luther, and I just have never seen her be like... Actually, that kind of helps. She's a truly horrible person. You know, we talk a lot about how villains always think they're doing the right thing. And I guess she thinks she's doing the right thing, but, like, I can't find any sympathy or common cause with her at all on this show, right? She's a terrible person who's... I don't know. Do you think she's doing what is right? She says she's doing what's right for the world, but she's really trying to accumulate power, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? It's funny, actually, because when she's having the conversation with the Cardinal, and he's like, that's blasphemy, and she's like, all right, you know, and the other guy is like, you know, there's another world and everything. That's blasphemy. It's right there. You can't act like it's not there because it goes against what you believe and want everybody else to believe. Let's talk with facts, you know. And her whole thing, she's not wrong, you know. I mean, from her perspective and the perspective of, you know, the magistratum and everything, you know, being evil and everything, even though they're evil, she's not wrong about the proper way for their evil to proceed, you know.
She's
has
not
a
wrong
much
in that moment.
Clearer understanding. Yeah, she has a much clearer
she's
understanding than the rest of her people.
Well, she has a clear understanding of the political situation and the reality of what they can accomplish in that moment. I mean,
right.
That doesn't change what she did last year where she wanted to save her own daughter but was perfectly fine with any number of other children being killed, right? And that kind of thing. And she's very, she's very interesting in the way that whole story is a condemnation of organized religion and particularly of Catholicism, of organized Catholicism, right? And she's the only woman among all these men, which is typical of Catholicism, much of Christianity, is a very male hierarchical sort of, I mean, most organized religion. I can't think of an organized religion that has women at the top of its hierarchy off the top of my head, right? And she's the only woman, and, like, every interaction she has with these men is, like, I mean, she's so powerful, and yet she plays this sort of subservient thing with an undercurrent of the promise of sex is always there, right? Like, she's always, like, I get such a sexual vibe sometimes when she talks to these men, like a repressed sexuality that's really creepy to me. And then it's so controlled, and then every now and then we see her just scream. Like, she really reminds me of the monkey sometimes, the way she just screams, right? She's so, like, I don't know. It's also
she's
scary.
She's very manipulative.
And these men are, like, all of those men in the Magisterium are stupid, right? Is there any one of them who's not?
Nah, they're a bunch of idiots. Even the guy that wants to. But he's in a league of his own. He's right up there with her.
He is, and yet he's kind of low level, right? Like, he's not a cardinal.
Yeah.
There's only, like, there's the head guy. The cardinal appears to be the head guy, sort of, right? There's only, like, not that many cardinals, and then there's Father, what's his name, who's the guy that Miranda's, is that Marissa, who Coulter's going to elevate. Boreal, I'm not really sure what level he is. I think he's a little bit lower level, but yeah, he's in a league of his own as a manipulator, and he may eclipse Mrs. Coulter. I'm not really sure, but I think he may be better than she is at this, and he knows more than she does. He knows way more than she does.
I think they know. Well, he's been over there, you know what I mean? So he found the window, and he hasn't told anybody. Both have their own strengths. And if they ever team up completely, I think everybody else is going to lose because between the two of them. But he seems to, even though he seems to be more, he seems to have more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? I know he was going after Will, but I feel like Coulter he has more of a soul. Coulter has no soul. Like, she will go to any lengths. She has a soft spot for Lyra, but I think if push came to shove, I don't think the fact that Lyra's her daughter would affect her one bit if it came to her getting her main objective.
Which is exactly what we saw with Asriel at the end of last season. Like, he killed Roger, and he doesn't really care what it does to Lyra. Although
Asriel, he ends up being the worst of them all.
Yeah. I mean, Mrs. Coulter's horrible, but she thinks she loves Lyra in her own way.
Yeah. Like, we know who the
Asriel
villains are.
Asriel doesn't pretend to.
Yeah, when you come, you know, when you... But the problem is, the Magistratum, they don't dictate as we're the good guys. They dictate as this is the way it is, this is the belief, this is how it is, you follow the law. Asriel perpetrates himself as, I'm the good guy, I'm the hero, I'm going to stop the Magistratum because they're wrong. And you come to find out that he doesn't care about any of that. Just in succeeding in his own goal. Like, he doesn't really care about anything. He doesn't care about the fight between
the magistrate.
Right, yeah.
Like, he talks
he
a good game
with people,
but really he just wants what he wants. He actually, as much as this series is a condemnation of religion in a lot of ways, he is like science at that extreme, right? Like, he's so committed to finding the other side and he says he wants to expose the Magisterium and bring them down, but I'm not really sure if he really, I think he just wants to discover what he wants to discover and he wants to bring them down, but he has no vision for what should come next or what would be better or what damage might happen with bringing down the system. it's a bad system, but if you bring it down, like, what are you left with, right? He has no, he hasn't even thought about that. Mrs. Coulter, I think, is a person who might have
succeeded.
An idea of what she'd like to see.
Right. But he's, but Asriel, he's already succeeded at what he wants. He doesn't, he never cared about the revolution. He only cared about himself and getting to another world.
Where
you
he
know,
appears
he
to have
around.
Gone, right?
Right. He didn't even stick around to say, look at me, I'm right. No, he just was like, I'm out of here. Later. Deal with it.
You know, that's interesting that you just mentioned that because, you know, we talked about how he's not in this season at all. And yet he went through ahead of Lyra, right? So can you go through? So
yeah.
He should be in the same world that Lyra's in. And so did he did he choose not to go to the city with the tower? Is he roaming around the jungle? Is he, I mean, he doesn't maybe know. He saw the same vision. He saw the same city on the hill that Lyra saw. Why he wouldn't go there.
That's true.
Where he, unless like the specters got him or something. Because he's an adult.
The specters could have got him, or he could be in the spire. You know, he could already be like I know he's not. But he could be the man behind the curtain at the in the final episode, and he'll be back next season, maybe.
Yeah, that could happen. You don't really know. It's funny how he's like a big villain now. Like he's a bad person and a bad villain. I mean, he's not a villain like the way Mrs. Coulter is. He betrayed Lyra in a horrible manner, and he's a horrible father and a bad guy, but he's not like as you said, he got what he wanted. I'm not sure what his end game is, but he's not like, he's not this tenacious, horrible villain like Mrs. Coulter is. Who, like Mrs. Coulter, I mean, she didn't even know, but it turns
Coulter
out, like
witch.
We found out in this episode where she had the witch captured, Mrs. Coulter didn't even know about the prophecy. Like, she just wanted Lyra because she just wanted Lyra. I think she just wanted her. Like, I think, do you think she genuinely, as a mother, wanted the child? She didn't even know about the prophecy. Now that she knows, it'll be a million times worse.
Well, she doesn't know.
I was surprised.
She knows there's a prophecy, but she doesn't know the extent of it.
Well, she didn't know there's a prophecy about Lyra, I think, until the witch told her, right?
No, right, exactly. But she doesn't know. All she knows is Lyra's involved in some prophecy. She doesn't know what the prophecy. The other witch killed her before she could tell her. That, you know.
Right. But don't you think Mrs. Coulter will be that much more wanting to find Lyra now? It was interesting because it's sort of like made her seem one half of 1% better for what she did last season, that she wasn't pursuing Lyra because of the prophecy last season. Which I guess was never really clear to me that she didn't know about it.
So, what'd you think about her pulling the twigs out of the witch? Apparently, there's some kind of magical twig in her back.
It's funny because when you put it that way, pulling magical twigs out of your back is kind of dumb and not the greatest torture. And yet, Ruth Wilson, I mean, I'm not her biggest fan, but she's a good actress. And she played that, like, really horrible torture, and the witch played it really well also. So apparently that's not in the book. They do have those little bits, what do they call it, spruce twigs, are a thing in the book, but they're not under the witch's skin. In the book, they're not, like, under the witch's skin, and she doesn't pull them out like that. I've never seen a torture scene with the tweezers that was that bad. Like, it was just the tweezers.
you've never seen a torture scene then when somebody's getting their fingernails pulled off the tweezers.
Oh, yeah, there's that, yeah. I think I saw that in, like, an old POW movie where they put, like, bamboo under there. But, I thought it was kind of I thought Mrs. Coulter's side of it was very good. Like, Ruth Wilson played it with a real sort of a sadism and a little bit too much enjoyment of it. That was made me very squirmy, right? I mean, the witch screaming was horrible, but it was like your basic torture victim. It wasn't, you know, particularly, but this is cool. I thought she played it pretty. I don't know. Did you think it was dumb with the sprigs under her skin?
No, I didn't think it was dumb. I mean, I was just being silly about it with the twig and everything. Because at first, when she first did it, I thought to myself, well, that's kind of pointless because she's already pulled it out. I didn't realize there was like a whole stick under there.
Yeah, there's like a whole branch under there, right?
Yeah, then I was like, all right, now it makes more sense. That's kind of...
Yeah, and I guess it shouldn't even maybe hurt as much, but she's also pulling out like her magical ability.
Well, for all we know, it's like interwoven, you know, it's like part of her and it's interwoven and it's like almost like it's pulling out a vein out of your body. For all we know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we don't know how connected they are.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Kind of like pulling out your demon, even though they have a demon. The demon died.
Right.
Mrs. Coulter's really horrible. And then, you know, she goes on after that to say like, okay, Father, what's your name? Guess what? How about I just kill the Cardinal and we won't tell anyone. And then like, you know, you'll be in charge and you do whatever. She says, it'll be my act of service. But what she means is like, I get carte blanche. You do whatever I say from now on.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the guy who I happened to watch a part of last season where she talks to him about like his sin. And she says like, your sin is envy. Like other guys have like, you know, other kinds of like dirty secrets and predilections. And she's like, oh, yours is envy. Like you envy the other, you know, the Cardinal. He's power hungry. He's obviously, it's obviously better for Mrs. Coulter. She can so much more easily control this guy. Who is?
Oh yeah.
I think the Cardinal is equally stupid, but the Cardinal is like so committed to he can't be controlled because he's pompous and committed to his ideology to a fault. Like he's like they're like, by the way, like the whole world knows that there's a second world, and he's like, that's blasphemy. Shut up. And they're like, no, you shut up. Everybody knows about it. Like he's
okay. That's what I was saying before.
He's
like,
harder.
Like you. You can't just say something isn't real when there's visual proof of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
but
is
it's like 100%.
Very bad thing for a leader to claim something isn't real when there's proof of it.
And yet his 100% denial makes him harder to control. Like this guy,
absolutely.
Is going to be easier for her to control, right?
Well, he won't, you know, the Cardinal, he wouldn't listen to reason. Whereas this guy is, you know, doesn't realize how badly she's already manipulating him. But at least
he's
willing
dumb.
To listen to reason, you know, to something that makes sense.
Yeah. She's a very scary villain. Like, she's pretty scary.
Yeah, I like her as a villain.
I like her, too. She's scarier. You know, I think that you talked about Boreal... being maybe smarter. I mean, he's definitely more subtle and he knows a lot more. He's not as scary to me.
That's what makes him scarier. Well, in a way,
he will become
scarier,
I think,
subtle. Because he's so subtle. Like that scene, like the scene with the human that he has working for him, the tech guy, you know, when he's, the snake, you know, the way the snake just so nonchalantly, like, pops out and it kind of, you know, you realize how dangerous he really is, but he looks very demure, you know? He looks more like a businessman.
Yeah, and I think
but
Mrs.
I think
Coulter maybe underestimates him. Like, she recognizes him as an enemy, as an adversary maybe, more than enemy, but she underestimates him for sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, she thinks she's the smartest person in the room, so she could underestimate a lot of people. Like, she underestimated Azrael.
She thinks she's so smart. Meanwhile, Boreal totally goes back and forth to other worlds, like, almost every day.
Right. Yeah.
And has a whole network of contacts and support. He's got a bank account. He's got a car and a cell phone. And he's like, you know, Mrs. Coulter's going to show up and be like, what is that thing they have in their hands?
When we were watching the episode, when Will was taking pictures with his cell phone, Artie goes, when Lyra sees that, she's going to freak out. She's like, what the hell is that?
I know, right? I felt like she's going to say they made a big point that, you know, how they call everything by this sort of old-timey steampunky, like, Azrael was always calling them photograms. And she's like, you're taking photograms. And that's immediately what I thought of. And Will's going to be like, what? Yeah, Lyra's going to freak out. I felt like that that was so obvious, that scene. Like, I'm not sure if they were just, like, on the one hand, it was such a perfect, like, 20th century Western society kind of thing to do. Of course, a kid takes a picture. But I felt like it was so obvious that we're going to see that. He's going to show that picture to someone in the next week or two, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, he'll go home to Oxford and meet someone, Boreal or someone else, and be like, by the way, look where I went. Click and show the picture.
Yep.
That was like a little bit of a, like, Chekhov gun kind of moment where we're going to see that again, for sure. So, I don't know. Did we mostly cover it?
I think we did pretty good.
Oh, I have one more thing I wanted to ask you. Did it seem to you that Pan is changing more often? Like, I felt like
yes.
He, for most of season one, he almost always was the cute little white ermine, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think he's trying out new things as Lyra gets older, because he's eventually going to have to pick one. So I think he's trying some other stuff in the meantime. What the heck was that one thing, though? It was like a, I don't know what it was. It was like a combination panda, raccoon-looking fox thing.
Oh, that's a red panda. That's a red. It's called a red panda. I know this because I saw this on Animal. I saw it on Animal Planet. They had a show where they had one at the Bronx Zoo that hurt its foot, and they had to like work on it. It's called a red panda, but it's actually more closely related to the raccoon than it is to pandas.
So it was funny. So first
super
of all,
cute.
I was like, it looks like a fat fox.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's called a red panda. Google red pandas later. They're so cute. But it is more related to a raccoon. It's funny you should mention that, because that's really the family that it's in. And I saw a whole thing where the poor thing hurt its little foot. Mm-hmm. Pan is changing a lot. And, like, also, we've never seen Pan. So, you know, when the kids were torturing that cat, and you know, they mm-hmm. go running and Will's going to rescue the cat, and the kids turn on Will and Daphne, and Pan turned into like a wolverine, it looked like.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most ferocious thing Pan had ever turned into. Like, what's the name? Pantamalion? Pan has turned into like other creatures before, but that's really the first time I've seen him be, that I recall, that he became sort of a really ferocious.
Yeah.
I think he became like a fox once, and you know, he's a house martin
yeah.
sometimes, and a bird.
He was that white fox.
Oh, like an Arctic fox kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that a lot, but I like, and he was like two different kinds of birds, and the red pant. He was like 10 different animals in this episode. But yeah, I've never seen him be like sort of a protective creature like that, really. I wonder what's going to happen. I'm going to miss that little cute little white thing that he is, that little ferret, little white ermine that he is.
Well, I have no idea what he decides to stick with once Lyra is.
Well, yeah, maybe he'll decide to
set.
Maybe he'll decide to settle as the ermine, right? Maybe he could stay as it.
I think whatever it ends up, I think whatever it is, it's going to. I get the feeling whatever he ends up being, it's going to be badass. Like, it's
yeah.
going to be something.
There's an episode in season one where Lyra says, I don't want him to settle. I want him to always be able to change. But I don't know if that's foreshadowing or that's just a childish wish, right? That's sort of like the childish wish that you can be anything you want to be when you grow up.
It's possible, I would say. I think to be foreshadowing, simply because with Lyra being special and being, you know, the prophesized child, that would mean that Pan, you know, she might be different, and Pan along with her
and all other
won't have to settle, you know.
Yeah,
like when she hits puberty and he's supposed to settle, and he goes, look, I can still change, I don't have to pick one thing. You know, he makes a side on his cute little ferret self, and then, you know, like, in the heat of the moment, like, changes without realizing he can do it. And he goes, wait a minute, what just happened here? You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, I wish I was a bird right now. And then, poof, you're a bird.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see.
We'll find out eventually.
So,
we will.
Yeah. So this season is the second book, right? So season one was the first book, The Golden Compass.
I have no idea.
So
I don't know how
materials, you know. So I think season one was The Golden Compass. And season two, that book has a name, which I could tell you, but I don't know if it'll give anything away about, you know, each book is an artifact. And so there's a new artifact.
Right.
That maybe this season is about. And so this was, so, you know, the movie only was, there was a movie of The Golden Compass, you know, the Nicole Kidman, and it was so horrible. They never like did a sequel. So this is sort of never been adapted before.
Yeah. We're already ahead of the movie. And the movie was bad.
Yeah. So this is, I've never read these books, but I know they're pretty dense, and it's kind of shocking to me they could maybe do, they did all of one book in 8 episodes, and they're doing another whole book in 7 episodes. It's kind of crazy, but it is 7 hours. It's like a 7-hour movie, so that's like 2 Lord of the Rings. Right? Those are all like 3 hours, so I guess, you know.
I'm sure they cut out, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff they cut out. I mean, we know through experience that book adaptations don't always hold up to what ends up on the screen.
Yeah.
Although,
you know, the writer of the books is involved in these shows, and that's partly why season one, I think, was generally seen as a pretty good adaptation. Because this guy Pullman is part of the team, the production team. So... I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was great. I mean, I really liked it. I liked all of last season. I liked it better than most of the critics. I like this. It sure is fantastic looking. I mean, it has a very HBO thing going on, right? I mean, they're pouring money into it, and it's worth it.
Yeah. Good. I think it was a good start to the season. So.
Yep. So.
Alrighty.
All right.
Well. I guess we will do it again next week.
I guess we will. All right.
Same.
So next week we have next week we have the mid-season finale of Fear. Then we have World Beyond. I guess maybe we'll talk about next, and we'll talk about this show also, His Dark Materials, for next week. All right. Until then, have a great week.
You too. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and good night.
Good night.